The gospel reading, and we'd ask that you stand for the gospel reading. If you're able, if you're not able, stay right where you are. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." And he's with us today. Now we will have an anthem sung, so you may be seated. Now we will have the New Testament reading, and that's found in Acts 2, 1 through 13. And I was kind of surprised this morning when I looked in my daily bread reading, and guess what? It's the exact same scripture for this today's lesson. So that to me is an act of the Holy Spirit. He wants everybody to see and hear this thing. So this is all over the country right now. Okay, the New Testament reading is Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of the violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews who from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'"
Gave you a little workout this morning with all those different names, and thank you so much, Carrie. You did a great job. As we continue our sermon series for our stewardship campaign, we will continue to run the race of faith. And we started this race of faith with in this sermon series through looking at the call of Jesus and the disciples, and then the faith of Abraham. And then last week, Pastor Mandy discussed what the race looks like as we get started and hurdles appear. And just as Pastor Emeritus Andy discussed taking the baton, today we will look at, after taking the baton, what it might look like in the handoff of passing the baton. And looking at this as it's reflected in the scriptural passages of Jesus' commissioning of the disciples and the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, church. And as I say happy birthday, I'm a little tempted to sing, happy birthday to ya, happy birthday to ya. All right, I digress. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you for empowering us, your people, to be a part of your plan of love, your kingdom's reign that permeates the entire world. Open our ears, our hearts, and our spirit to your word, that we might empower others to run the race set before us as we run together. Hide me behind you this morning, O God, so that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you all know, I'm from Philadelphia, and I think one person actually calls me Pastor 21267, and I really love that. So you know that I'm from Philadelphia, and you cannot be a really good Philadelphian without relay races being somewhere in your DNA. You're not a good Philadelphian if you don't get just a little bit excited about a relay race. And if you have not been to at least one pin relays or at least the festivities around it, then I don't know if you're really a Philadelphian. And because it's so much a part of my DNA, I have somewhat studied relay races. And so to set the scene of our metaphor on this morning that we'll be using, I want to look at what the components of a relay race are. A relay race is made up of at least about four sprints of equal distance put together. So it's sort of like four races in one. And each equal distance is called a leg. Now there's an asterisk because some races where each leg is of different distances is actually called medley races. And the baton is passed on while both runners are running. And the runner receiving the baton does not, or at least should not, look back because they will lose precious time by either fumbling or dropping or not really doing the handoff properly or not even at all and lose the race. And the last leg is called the anchor leg. And there's often this misconception that the fastest runner should automatically run the last with the baton. But instead, relay races are comprised of people of diverse talents participating fully together to reach the finish line. Each runner has a special set of skills that is used in each particular leg, and it requires participation by everyone. In a relay race, a baton is passed between each leg of the race, and the baton passer gives instructions and says, "Stick!" It requires the runner with the information that they need to take the baton and to pass it. This lets the runner know that the baton is about to be passed and to reach out for it, and the runner doesn't have to stop running or look down to take or pass the baton, because the handoff now is evidence of being in sync and being in community. The passing of the baton is an exchange of power, so to speak. As the baton is passed, each runner is empowered to run. Now let's address the elephant that's in the room. Far too often, people think that passing the baton means I'm finished with something, it's no longer my problem. I'm gonna wipe my hands. Here, take this problem from me. Let me get rid of it and give it to you so I no longer have to care about it. But that's not what a relay race is, and that's not even what passing the baton means. That's the game called hot potato. We're not talking about passing the hot potato. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit in community, using our gifts given to us to aid the team in running the race. So as we look at this morning's passages, we can see a relay race. In our Matthew passage, Jesus prepares the disciples for his death and resurrection, and he passes the baton to the disciples for their next leg of the race. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, to love one another. Now, this does not mean that Jesus was playing hot potato with the disciples to say, oh, this is your problem now. I'm done with these folks. They're your problem now. Though I am convinced that Jesus did have some facepalm moments, and I've seen some really funny memes on Facebook of that, but the truth is that Jesus did not stop running with them, but instead Jesus says that I will be with you through the end of the age. Jesus empowers them to begin to run to and to be a part of the redemptive plan. Then, onto the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples, gives them the ability to speak in the other language of those who had come from all over to Jerusalem, to go and to make disciples of every nation. See, the Holy Spirit passed the baton. And as we Methodists know, and believe that the passing of the baton of the Holy Spirit does not mean that the Holy Spirit was like, oh, I empowered you, I'm done. This was just a one-time thing. On the contrary, we believe the Holy Spirit continues to be at work in our lives, moving us onto Christian perfection, empowering us to love and to be love for all the world. The disciples were empowered by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and this empowerment was inclusive. The language in the Acts passage uses words like every, all together, each of us. And this makes total sense since the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost after the ascension of Jesus to empower the disciples of every nation. It was the fulfillment of Jesus' command and promise that disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit came. The Spirit was sent by God to incorporate people universally into the body of those who acknowledge Jesus. They would be united in diversity of age and gender and race and ethnicities and social status. The baton was passed to them, that they might pass and empower others. The thought is that living together in this beloved community empowered them to witness by imitating Jesus. Because through Jesus, the relay race of the church, beloved community starts with the Holy Spirit who passes the baton to the disciples, who pass the baton to the crowds, who pass the baton to you and me, and now invites us to pass the baton that empowers others as we continue to run the race together. The birthday of the church, Pentecost, as I mentioned, is the first leg of the church's race. It is where the Christian church emerges through those who believed and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as the Genesis creation account was sort of like a Big Bang account where God starts the activity of creation as the Spirit of God swept over or hovered over the face of the water and then filled Adam, and then creation was formed. A new creation was formed. This is the same in the church. See, the Holy Spirit is the starting point of the church that hovered over the people with tongues of fire and filled them, and a new creation called the church was formed. We see the same relay race in the history of Glenmar's start. And I thank you so much for getting some Glenmar church history through Pastor Emeritus Andy, who said that the Spirit started the activity that filled some people, some ordinary people, Dixie Milner's family and friends and other faithful believers who met in a house and then met in a school and then met in Glenmar Road and to this very building to form a beloved community that we all call Glenmar Church, to continue to run the race and empower others to do the same. And I'm sure that many thought that what they were doing was absolutely absurd. I would love to hear of the people that told them that what they were embarking on could not be done, that they must have been drunk, filled with that new wine, to think that they could start a church, that those people could even imagine the miracle that is Glenmar Church, where every Sunday morning, between 500 and 600 people of various backgrounds and cultures and races and ethnicities and ages and gender identities and orientations and differing abilities gather in person and online for traditional and contemporary services each week and on this very morning, and to serve so many in the communities. What a seemingly mission impossible endeavor and proposition, but God. This is consistent with the birth of the church. It was miraculous, seemingly like a mission impossible. The overall proposition of the church seems to be very much mission impossible. How can there be a loving, a beloved community amongst such diversity? How can we possibly serve together and empower others to run the race with us? How can imperfect people together, empowered by love, go and love the world? Even those who are different from us, who think different from us, who vote different from us, who believe different from us. Yet on the day of Pentecost, a group of Galileans came together and began to speak the language of those who had traveled, who were in Jerusalem from various places, to tell the truth of God's love and grace in their own language. What an impossibility. To speak in their language, though, was an expression of God's own hospitality and welcome to diversity and inclusion of all of every, all together, each and every one, the kingdom of God. It seemed like such an impossibility that the onlookers thought that they were drunk. It was clearly the only explanation that they could come up with, especially in a time and a culture of exclusivity. Unity amongst diversity seems like an impossibility. Yet, as I look in this room this very morning, I see the Holy Spirit. The impossible is possible. Because in this very room are many different backgrounds, socioeconomic statuses, races, ethnicities, cultures, ages, nations, genders, sexual orientation, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, progressives, and everything in between, present here this morning, praising God, growing as disciples, and serving the world as beloved community. But see, as Christians, the impossible, we believe that the impossible is possible because we as Christians believe in what seems to be an impossible proposition. How can we possibly be liberated from sin and death? Yet we believe that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, that Christ's salvific act on the cross, we are liberated from sin and death, that we are forgiven and invited to the heavenly banquet. How can this be? And not that some, not just us, not just them, not just me and pastors, not just you, but all are invited to the seat at the table, not based upon our deeds, our race and our privileges, our abilities, our talents, but through God's grace and love. And we need only believe. We need only show up to the race believing the impossible is possible through God's grace. And God will empower us to run. As we think about, I was doing some research on the anatomy of running. The anatomy of running, if you really think about it, running is a miracle. It is what really seemingly is an impossible endeavor to get a diverse group of organs and systems to work together to get us to move, let alone run, is miraculous. That each system and organ is passing the baton to empower us to move, and in just one step, over 200 muscles are activated in collaboration, in unity, so as to counter both the external, horizontal, and vertical forces of resistance to our movement. Miraculous. It's sort of like an internal relay race where organs and systems pass the baton, empowering each other to move forward even against hurdles of resistance. An impossible mission made possible. This is why we continue to call the stewardship campaign Mission Possible. To some, it may seem crazy or must seem like we're drunk to believe that we could possibly eliminate the debt of the smaller mortgage so that we can serve even more people. But through God, the impossible is more than possible. We can move diligently against hurdles of resistance. And Pastor Emeritus Andy said, the people stepped up and God provided. The impossible made possible. The truth is that a runner doesn't run the race thinking that crossing the finish line is impossible. A runner or a finish line crosser runs because they believe that the finish line is now. It's touchable, it's doable, it's already in grasp. The finish line of a relay race, each person believes that each teammate and empowers them to run as the team crosses the finish line. They are big dreamers who believe the impossible is possible, a big dreamer that believes that every tiny step or every stride by each person on the team can and will cross the finish line. But let's be honest. Sometimes we just don't feel like running. Because running a race can feel altogether overwhelming. It makes us question if we're good enough. Do we have enough strength and endurance? If we have enough to give, if our little offering is enough or will make a difference, if we got what it takes or if our participation even matters, makes us question if we even belong here. So let me tell you a quick story. I told you before that I ran track. So I'm gonna tell you about my very first track meet. I had been practicing for weeks doing drills, running uphill for at least 5 miles every day after school, working on my starts, all to prepare to be ready for the race. My team was counting on me to be there. I was supposed to run the 200, but as the track meet approached, there was an inner voice that told me, "You're not fast enough. You aren't as talented as the other runners. You're going to fall after starting," because I had fallen quite a bit at my start. "I was going to embarrass my team and myself. I just wasn't enough. So what did I do? I left my team hanging. I didn't show up. I didn't participate. All the team needed me to do was to show up. There was a plan for my particular set of skills, but I didn't even show up because I didn't believe. The coach had helped me hone my form, like in worship, had me work on my drills in community, like growing as a disciple. All I needed to do was to show up to serve the world. And I needed to trust that if I stepped up, despite my insecurities, God would have provided. Relay races require full participation, and no leg is greater than another. No person is greater than another. Each person is an important member of the race. Every stride and every step from every person is imperative. The Holy Spirit empowers us with many gifts, so we don't have to be the EST of runners or disciples. We don't have to be the fastest, the richest, the smartest, the most talented, have to have the most expendable time. All we need to do is to show up at the starting line. We need to be willing when that baton is passed to receive it, to continue to run as we pass it along by empowering others to join the race. The church does not exist for us to enjoy the fruits of our labor, to simply make it comfortable for us here, to hoard the baton and keep it for ourselves, or to even hide it, to let this church thrive only for our current generation would mean that we would let it die for the next. To let this church only thrive in our generation means that we don't truly believe. It means that we're not really showing up. Because if we truly believe, then every runner in this room knows that they are empowered to not only take the baton, but to pass it to empower others to run too. Not just today, but until the end of the age, until we get to that heavenly banquet. When the Holy Spirit exclaims, "Stick," we need to open our hands with faith to receive it so that we yell, "Stick," and pass it along. Do you hear it? Stick. Go and be disciples. Go and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Thanks be to God.